This morning's scriptural reading is from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 2 to 7. If a man or woman living among you in one of the towns the Lord gives you is found doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God, in violation of his covenant and contrary to my command, has worshipped other gods, bowing down to them or to the sun or the moon or the stars in the sky, and this has been brought to your attention, then you must investigate it thoroughly. If it is true and it has been proved that this detestable thing has been done in Israel, take the man or woman who has done this evil deed to your city gate and stone that person to death. On the testimony of two or three witnesses, a person is to be put to death, but no one is to be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. The hands of the witnesses must be the first in putting that person to death, and then the hands of all the people must purge the evil from among you.
Let's have a word of prayer over the scripture reading here this morning. Father, as we enter into this time of message, the sermon, and just meditating on the scripture, Father, we're about to enter into talking more about the commandments that you gave to Moses and how they apply to us here today. Father, what are the truths that we need to learn? What is it about your word that's going to transform us in some way here today? Each one of us, Father, is at a different place. So feed us all exactly what we need to get us to the point where you want us, because we all want to continue to grow in the Word of God. And we thank you for this, and we ask in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Again, thank you, Don, for reading here this morning. This is week number 16 in our sermon series on the Ten Commandments. We've finished five of them, and today, praise the Lord, we're going to start the sixth commandment today. Sixth commandment. I've already kind of figured out what I'm going to do with the sixth commandment. And I know we'll be in this one for 5 weeks. So that's no big deal, right? 5 weeks in the sixth commandment. How much can you say about the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment is found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. So what I want us all to do, no matter what kind of Bible you might have, hopefully you have your Bible with you, to turn to that passage, to Exodus chapter 20, verse number 13. And it's just going to be one short little verse, and there's something that I need to point out. And this is something that I haven't said for a long time. I think I'm pretty sure I said it when I first started here, but I will repeat it again. I highly, highly, highly encourage everyone to bring their own Bibles with you. Yes, we do have pew Bibles that you can read, but I encourage you to bring your own Bible. And the analogy I like to give is this. You don't go to chemistry class without your chemistry book. You don't come to God's church without God's word. Amen? That's the way I kind of look at it. And I will make this one-time offer. If you do not own a Bible, Pastor Mike will buy you your Bible of choice, so I know that you have a Bible with you when you come to this church. Not the church is going to buy you a Bible. I will buy you a Bible. That's how much I believe that everyone should have their own. So if you don't have one, you come see me and you tell me which one you want. I will buy it for you because I have no problem with that. All right, so everyone at Exodus chapter 20, verse 13? Okay, we're going to find out that this study on the sixth commandment is immediately going to begin on a very interesting note. One of the places that I go on the internet for a lot of my information is a Bible site called thebiblegateway.com. And BibleGateway.com has a variety of translation Bibles. It has all the scripture verses there, and I can look it up. Bible Gateway has 51 different English translation Bibles, translations that you can look up different verses on. Did you know this? And this is kind of where we're going to go with this. Out of the 51 English translation Bibles, 14 of them will say about this commandment, 14 will say, thou shalt not kill. The other 37 are going to say, thou shalt not murder. Now, I don't know what your Bible translation says. That depends on what translation Bible you may have. So some say thou shalt not kill, some say thou shalt not murder. So the question that we need to ask right up front is this. Are these two words, to kill and to murder, are they the same? Are they interchangeable, or is there a difference? Answer, when it comes to how God views killing and how he views murdering, yes, there is a difference between these two words. And I got to say this up front, that I feel like it's rather discouraging that regardless of what English translation we may have, be it a King James, a New King James, an NIV, an NASB, whatever, that these two words are often interchanged throughout all the scriptures. Kill, murder, kill, murder. And since they are, it's difficult to know when the Word of God is actually referring to killing and when the Word of God is referring to murdering. And most translations that I have seen seem to be very inconsistent with their use of these two words. So, what are the differences in the meanings of these two words? Well, I just so happen to have in your bulletin Webster's definition of these two words. It's on the inside cover under the sermon notes. Webster defines the word kill, to kill, as one, to deprive of life, or two, second definition, to put an end to. Webster defines the word murder as, the one definition that I brought out was this, the crime of unlawfully killing a person, especially with malice. Now, those are the two definitions that Webster gives us for those two words, and they are going to be pretty much how the Bible is going to look at killing and murdering. So, let's say this up front. For the sake of our study on the sixth commandment, we're going to define the commandment as this, thou shalt not murder, because that is the correct interpretation of that commandment. And it's rather, I find this rather unusual that the authorized King James Version, which a lot of people are very much advocates of, uses the word kill, thou shalt not kill. But when they went to the New King James translation, just to kind of get rid of the these and thous, they also got rid of the kill and put in murder. So old King James Version, thou shalt not kill, New King James, thou shalt not murder. So, we got that out of the way. Let's get this next point out of the way. Is this commandment repeated in the New Covenant? Let's just remember this because we'll eventually get to it. The answer is yes, of course it is. And it's repeated in many different places. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 says this, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. Boy, that's going to be an important verse because I'm going to use that for all the remainder of the commandments, all the way through 6, all the way through 10. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32, it gives a laundry list of sins identifying that of a depraved and sinful mind. One of those sins is murder. And likewise in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, murder is one sin among many characterizing one who is ungodly and sinful. So we know that the commandment is repeated. The commandment of thou shalt not murder is repeated in the New Covenant. But for our study today, let's first look at what it means to kill. But with the foundation of knowing this, thou shalt not kill is not the commandment, right? What is the commandment? Thou shalt not what? Murder. That's the commandment. So let's talk about the differences in these two words because we need to be able to use them properly. We have four fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin this morning, and we haven't had fill-in-the-blanks for a while, and so our first one is this. Fill-in-the-blank number one. Biblically speaking, and I remind you, biblically speaking, to kill another human being means to put a person to death for a keyword, justifiable reason. For a justifiable reason. What would we call that today? Today we call that capital punishment. And we will be talking about that here in a couple weeks. And regardless of what side you may be on with this thing today called capital punishment, I can assure you this. The Word of God does not have a problem with capital punishment. Actually, the Word of God supports capital punishment. First, and today, we're going to look at some Old Testament examples. And this morning, I'm going to look at this issue of killing, to kill, from the standpoint of God's people, the nation Israel, and only those things that are happening within the nation Israel. So, the Old Testament nation Israel, some background information, was what they call a theocracy. Okay? The United States is a what? A democracy. Democracy, dem, people, cracy, state. The state is run by the people. Theocracy. There's that word cracy again, the state. The state is run by what? Theo. Theo is another word for who? God. So the state, the nation Israel, is run by God. The theocracy means that the nation Israel was ruled by God and his laws. God passed down his laws, which we call the Mosaic Law, down to Moses, and this nation of Israel would be ruled by those laws. And those appointed by God to rule the nation Israel were charged to enforce those laws and to properly execute those laws. In the Old Testament Mosaic Law, there were many sins that were punishable by death. Now, I'm just going to stop right there and say this. Think of how important it was for mom and dad to tell their little girls and little boys what the rules and laws and regulations were. Because if there were laws that you offended and sinned against that were punishable by death, that would not be a good thing. Teach your children. Anyways, I just thought I'd throw that in. There were some sins that were punishable by death. And when these sins occurred and the offenders were put to death, that would be called, according to the Bible definition, of killing. The justifiable taking of a life of another human being. Let's go through a couple of these. Here's some things that you could do that were punishable by death. Exodus 21:12. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. Exodus 21:16. He who kidnaps a man, whether he sells him or he is found in his possession, shall surely be put to death. Exodus 21:15. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Exodus 21:17. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Leviticus 20, verse 2. Any man from the sons of Israel or from the aliens sojourning in Israel who gives any of his offspring to Molech shall surely be put to death. Now, if you're not sure what that is child sacrifice. These people would offer their brand new born babies to Molech as a child and infant sacrifice. Leviticus 20, verse 10. If there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Leviticus 20, verse 13. If there is a man who lies with a male, as those who lie with a woman. He's talking about homosexuality and lesbianism here. Both of them have committed a detestable act. They shall surely be put to death. Leviticus 20, verse 15. This gets disgusting. If there is a man who lies with an animal, he shall surely be put to death. You shall also kill the animal. Leviticus 20, verse 27. Now a man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist shall surely be put to death. And then there's one more. Actually, there's many more, but just one more I'm going to mention. In Deuteronomy chapters 13 and 18, the Lord warns the people against false prophets. In chapter 13, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in chapter 13, if a prophet tries to lead anyone astray to another god by signs and wonders, that prophet is to be put to death. Deuteronomy chapter 18, if a prophet announces a prophecy and that prophecy does not come about or come true, that prophet is to be put to death. Wow. So let's summarize that. In the theocracy of the nation of Israel, there were offenses that when they occurred, that whereby the penalty of that offense meant that the offender would be killed by the people of Israel. If you murdered another person, if you struck or cursed either of your parents, if you kidnapped a person, if you sacrificed your child to a pagan god, if you committed adultery, if you committed homosexuality, if you committed bestiality, if you dabbled in the occult, or if you were a false prophet, or many other offenses that I just did not have time to mention, those offenses were punishable by death. The offender would be killed. The justifiable taking of the life of another human being, all according to the law of God. Wait a second. Here we are, 21st century America. What should we make of this God who allows for all this killing? Isn't he a God of love after all? He certainly cannot be a good God, can he? He allows the taking of life of a human being. And he's telling, and it's his own chosen people, the Israelites. What kind of God is this anyways? I'm sure that each and every one of us have probably asked that question at some time in our lives. But we're asking the wrong question. The question shouldn't be, why does God allow killing? The question should be this: why doesn't God just take each and every one of our lives? That's the question we should be asking. The question isn't, why does he kill some? The question is, why does he allow me to stay living? That's the question. It's similar to the person who really just kind of doesn't get into divine election and predestination. They would ask the question, why would God just save some and not others? Again, the wrong question. The question is this: why does God save anybody? Because nobody's worth saving, are we? Fill in the blank number two. Let's build a foundation on this whole thing about killing. We must recognize that God is God. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not what? Our thoughts, right? His thoughts are not our thoughts. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4 says this, and this is our fill in the blank. This is directly from Deuteronomy 32, 4. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. Just. They are just. I've said this many times. God does not do something because it's right. It's right because God does it. We got to get that one correct too. God doesn't do something because it's right. It's right because God does it. Our next fill in the blank. Fill in the blank number three. We got to immediately go to this one. God created man and God expects obedience. We get that from 2 John chapter 1 verse 6. Once a person decides to sin and disobey God, which we have all done at some point in our lives, he then becomes an enemy of God. Anybody who is on the side of sin becomes an enemy of God. We get that from James 4:4. And that person deserves God's wrath. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. He deserves God's wrath. From Psalm 7, 11 through 13. I read this earlier. This was our wisdom scripture this morning. And now this scripture is beginning to make a little more sense. It says this: God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and he has made it ready. He has also prepared for himself deadly weapons. He makes his arrows fiery shafts. Sounds like there's another side to God, doesn't there? It's kind of the side that a lot of people just don't like to talk about. But there's one more reason why God allowed killing as part of the Old Testament Mosaic law. God wanted his people, the nation Israel, to be set apart. He wanted them to be different. He wanted them to be holy. He did not want them to look like all the other nations out there. And to be set apart, learning and obeying the laws of God had to be the way of life, had to be a way of life for the Israelite. As I said earlier, it was so important to train your children in the laws of God, because I just read all those offenses to you. If they were disobedient to any of those, they could be killed and should be killed according to the law of God. As we noted earlier, a violation against certain laws were punishable by killing. The justifiable, keyword, justifiable taking of a life of another human being. The punishment would be just and it would be swift. So who carried out this punishment, and why was the punishment so swift and so sudden? Well, that answer is found in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 7. And Don read that earlier. Even though that this verse pertains to one specific violation, which is the worship of foreign gods, which is another violation punishable by death, the procedure applies to every violation that is punishable by death. Fill in the blank number 4. Here's the kind of the procedure, and then we'll talk a little bit about that. Fill in the blank number 4 says this: the hands of the witnesses must be the first in putting that person to death, and then the hands of all the people. You must purge the evil from among you. So there's two words we've got to fill in there. The hands of the witnesses must be the first to put that person to death. Why? You must purge the evil from among you. So what is the procedure that would have been used back in the Old Testament days of the Israelites? Well, Deuteronomy 17, verse 4 says this: first and foremost, the whole situation must be investigated thoroughly. Must be investigated thoroughly. Oh, we do that today, don't we? Okay. It must have been investigated thoroughly. Because we do not want any false accusations. After all, what is the punishment? Death. You don't want to put anybody on death row, so to speak, unless the situation has been investigated thoroughly. We don't want any false accusations. Maybe that's why God made the 9th commandment, thou shalt not bear false testimony against thy neighbor. Because we don't want to put the innocent to death. And Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6 says this: it must be on the testimony of 2 or 3 or more witnesses, never on one witness. In other words, K cannot run up to whoever and say, guess what Mike did? Guess what Mike did? Guess what I saw Mike doing? And it would never be valid on the testimony of one person. But if she said it, and Cindy said it, and Donna said it, and Tom said it, and they came to the elders and they said that Mike did this thing, that would be valid testimony. Although the situation would still have to be what? Investigated thoroughly. So where did this take place? Where would the execution be take place? Deuteronomy 17, verse 5. Take the offender outside the city gate. No executions were ever conducted within the community. Where was Jesus crucified? Within Jerusalem? Nope. Outside Jerusalem. So who would perform the execution? Deuteronomy 17, verse 7. The people who witnessed the violation would be the first person, people, to stone the offender. And that would be the method of killing that person in that culture at that time. They would be killed by stoning. And then the Bible says the other Israelites would join in. And then the final question, why so swiftly? To purge the evil from the nation. To purge the evil from among you. Every one of those commandments that I read, go back to, I believe it's Deuteronomy 17 or wherever I was at. Look at all the list of the ones punishable by death. To purge the evil from among you. To purge the evil from among you. To purge the evil from among you. But why purge the evil from the nation? It's the same reason that churches today are to purge the evil influences from within the body of believers. Why? Because the Bible says this, a little leaven does what? It does what? Who knows? A little leaven. Thank you. Leavens the whole lump. Leavens the whole lump. 1 Corinthians, that's 1 Corinthians 5, 6. And 1 Corinthians 15, 33 tells us this, bad company corrupts good character. It's important that within a church body, there are not individuals or groups or whatever that come into church who want to pull other people astray. Can't do that. We're all focused in one direction here, folks. And that's the direction we need to go. And if there's somebody coming in who wants to try to leaven this congregation, sometimes I have to do some things that I don't want to do and politely ask them to go worship somewhere else. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And I'm responsible for what happens here at Beach Grove Church. God is going to hold me responsible. And I take that very seriously. The nation Israel, God's own chosen people, they would be set apart by God. They would be different. They would be holy. And they would literally kill the evil from among their own. And it would be all according to the law of God. So, we spent a whole morning, a whole message, a whole sermon on talking about something that isn't even the commandment. Because the commandment isn't thou shalt not kill. The commandment is thou shalt not what? Murder. And that's all we talked about today was just killing. Well, the next time we gather together here at this church on a Sunday morning, we're going to get a little more controversial. We're going to be talking about killing from the standpoint of war. One whole Sunday on that. And then we're going to talk about killing from the standpoint of self-defense. Ooh, going to get interesting. Come on back. Talk about some controversial subjects in today's Christianity. Let's pray.